You know, as you think about our society today, think about what Richard led us in prayer today. Think about what's happening around us and how our society today is doing so many different things that surprise a lot of us. In one way, our society today is trying to define who you are. Our society is doing their best, especially with our young people, to try to identify for them who they are, to define their identity. And what they're doing is trying to say, okay, if we can identify and put you in this category over here, then this is what it must mean about you. But if we identify you and we put you in this category over here, well, that must mean something completely different. They want to pinpoint and define your identity for you and put you into categories that kind of fit their mold. It's interesting to see what's happening around us in our society, telling individuals that, well, you can identify however you want to identify. You can self-identify however you want to self-identify. If you want to identify as a Martian, well, then you go ahead and you identify as a Martian. If you want to identify as a hamster, well, you go ahead. If you want to identify as a paperclip, you go ahead and if you want to identify as Donald Duck, you go ahead and identify however you want to self-identify, whatever feelings might make you feel good. A lot of ideas out there. Our kids are finishing school this week. A lot of excited faces around when I say that, especially among teachers who are finishing school this week. Also, our kids are finishing school this week. And our kids have probably heard, they've probably learned a lot of things about identity in school this year. I dare say that a lot of things that our kids have learned in school this year about identity don't line up with what the Word of God says. So I want to take some time this morning, and I want us to talk especially to our young people today. We had a lesson like this a couple years ago where we talked about what our kids should learn about gender in school. And what we did for that lesson is I got one of my favorite school desks out and just preached from a school desk. And so that's what we're going to do today, is to talk especially to our young people, but really to all of us, about what our kids should have learned in school about identity. But it's not just for our kids today. This is something that we all need to pay attention to. Because while our society is trying to define for us who we are and to define our identity for us, we need to let God do the talking. We need to let God do the defining and telling us who we really are and to tell us what really matters. So as you think about who you are today, I want you to realize, old people and young people, you need to realize that there are some things about you that are changeable. Is that true? I mean, you changed your clothes this morning, hopefully, right? There are some things about you that are changeable. For some of you, you recognize immediately that your occupation is changeable. For some of you, it's been too changeable, right? But for some of us, our occupation is changeable. But for some of us, we find our identity in our occupation. And so whatever you are, whether you're a cashier, whether you're an accountant, whether you're an assistant, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a technician, whether you're a nurse, whatever you might be, how often do we find our identity in what we do? And then when you lose your job, you feel like you've lost your identity. Our occupation is changeable. But what we need to understand is while our occupation is changeable, that does not necessarily change our true identity. We have a job. We give our all to our job. And yet that is not what our true identity is. Your organs, your joints, they're replaceable, aren't you? I thought about asking you for a raise of hands, but I'm not going to do it. How many of you have had a joint, a hip, a knee replaced? You've got body parts that are replaceable. You've got organs that are transplantable. Some of you have had kidney transplants. You've known of people that have liver transplants. The man who used to preach for the Cluiston congregation, he was just here for our gospel meeting, visiting for our gospel meeting back in March. Mark Smith is his name. Last year, he had a heart transplant. I mean, you think about having a heart transplant, that's pretty major. And yet, when he was here in March and I was talking to Mark, guess who I was talking to? Same man I was talking to before his heart transplant. You know why? We've got body parts. We've got body parts that can be changed. But just because body parts, whether it be limbs or whether it be joints or whether it be organs or whether it be something else that some people are wanting to change today, some other body parts, just because body parts can be changed does not change your true identity. You listening? Some things today about you might be changeable. That doesn't change who you are. That doesn't change your identity. So while some things about you might be changeable, there's some things about you that are unchangeable. What is there about you that is not changeable? I want you to think about two things. First thing I want you to think about is your humanity. Your humanity is not changeable. If you go back in your Bible, get your Bible, go back to Genesis chapter 1. And as you read through Genesis chapter 1, you are going to read on day 5 of the days of creation about God creating birds and God creating fish. And then God gets to day 6 of creation down in verse 24, and God creates the beasts of the earth. He creates on day 5 the fish and the birds, and then he creates all of the beasts of the earth on day 6. And after he creates all of the birds and the fish and the beasts of the earth on days 5 and 6, after that, he creates, verses 26 and 27 of chapter 1, he creates man, mankind, humankind. And the Bible says that he created them in his own image, verses 26 and 27. You've been made different from every other creature on the face of this earth. You have been made in the image of God. When God made you, he wasn't making you like some bird or like some fish or like some other beast of the earth. He made you distinct. He made you different. He made you identifiable and unique from any other ones of his creation. When you read throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you're going to find over and over, more than 40 times, where God contrasts man and beast, man and beast, man or beast. Over and over in the Old Testament, he contrasts. What does that mean? God doesn't look at man and beast as the same thing. God looks at man and beast as two different entities. They're not interchangeable with each other. They are distinct from each other. And so if somebody wants to identify as an iguana today, that doesn't make them an iguana. If somebody wants to identify as a cat, as a dog, they want to go to school and say, well, I identify as a cat today. That doesn't make them a cat. Nor will it ever make them a cat or a dog or an iguana or whatever else somebody may say I'm identifying as, because God made us distinct. God made man different from all of the rest of the creatures that he made. And so I cannot be changed. The God who made me a human. And I cannot change that until I become God. And none of us are ever going to reach that. Your humanity, God making you a human, that is unchangeable. You still in Genesis chapter 1? Your gender is unchangeable. What God made you. And so in Genesis chapter 1, what does he say in verse 27? So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And the end of verse 27 says what? Male and female, he created them. He created male and female distinct from each other. He created them identifiable. What was it about? There was something identifiable. There was something distinguishable about male and female when God made them at the very beginning. And if you keep reading through the book of Genesis, you'll find that not only did God make humans, male and female, God made animals, male and female. When you read about Noah and the ark in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, and God told Noah to bring the animals on the ark, bring on the two, bring on the seven. Do you know what he kept saying about those animals? The male and the female. Male and female. When you look at animals, when you look at your pets, you can distinguish between a male and a female. When you look at people, when God looks at His creation, God distinguishes between male and female. And so thousands of years after God made man, God came to this earth. And when God was on this earth in a human form, did He say that things had changed in regard to male and female? I mean, thousands of years of history had transpired, thousands of years of changes, thousands of years of man developing their own sense of identity, right? So when Jesus comes thousands of years later, does He say, well, you know, that's how it was in the beginning, but things have evolved? Does He say that in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10 and verse 6? No. Jesus goes back to the beginning and He says, just as God made them male and female at the beginning, they are still male and female today. The way they existed in the beginning, Jesus says, is the same way they still exist today in the present tense. As identifiable and distinguishable as they were in the beginning, Jesus says they're still as identifiable, still as distinguishable today as they were back then. Gender. You listening? Gender is not something that is merely determined by anatomy. Gender is not something that's merely determined by hormones. Well, we'll give this person a hormone blocker and it'll block. No. First of all, no. Don't do that. But that doesn't change. That doesn't change what they are. Their gender's not determined by their hormones. Their gender's not determined by their anatomy. Their gender's not determined by what they feel like or what they identify as that particular day. You see, God made gender much deeper than that. Gender is found and set on the cellular level. I didn't count them, but you've got somewhere around 30 trillion cells in your body. Maybe you can go home today and see if you can come up with that many cells in your body. 30 trillion cells in your body. And with the exception only of your red blood cells, all 30 trillion of your cells have embedded within them sex chromosomes. And those sex chromosomes all are alike for your 30 trillion cells. And they all say whether you are a male or a female. It's not a matter of anatomy. It's not a matter of feelings. It's not a matter of hormones. It's a matter of how God made us. And so God embedded within us, inside the very nucleus of every cell in our body, what we are. And so you're a biology. Your biology is not changeable. If God made you a male, you'll be a male for the rest of your life, no matter what you do, no matter what you feel. If God made you a female, you'll be a female for the rest of your life, no matter what you do and no matter what you feel. A person's gender is determined at conception. It's developed in the womb. It is identified immediately upon their birth and often before when you go in for those sonograms, and it is something that does not change for the rest of their life. But as much emphasis as people put on this today, I want you to know that whatever God made you, male or female, There's more to your identity than that. The world wants to make it out like that's everything. Well, it's a big part of how God made you. There is more to your true identity than whether God made you a male or whether God made you a female. Some things about you are changeable, but that doesn't change your true identity. Some things about you are unchangeable. There are some things about you that are just inconsequential. Two things I want you to think about being inconsequential. And you may look at it, wait a minute, no, these aren't inconsequential. In God's eyes, these are inconsequential. Your social status, inconsequential in the eyes of God. Your social status, your true identity is not wrapped up in your social status. It does not matter in the eyes of God how much money you have. Makes no difference to your true identity how much money you have. In Luke chapter 16, what happened to that rich man who fared sumptuously every day? He died like every other person on earth. I loved what Andy Robinson said. Were you listening to Andy Robinson when he was here 3 weeks ago on our Friends and Family Day? I loved what he said when he said that statistics have shown that one out of every one people are going to die. Isn't that the case? I mean, that sticks with you. So it doesn't matter how much money you have. Here's a rich man who fared sumptuously every day in Luke 16 and he died. Here's a rich young ruler in Luke 18 who came to Jesus, but he wasn't in a right relationship with Jesus, even though he had all of this money. How much emphasis do we put on money today? That's not your true identity. Well, this person's rich, this person's poor. In the eyes of God, it doesn't matter. That is not your true identity, how much money you have. What is your true identity? Your true identity is not wrapped up in where you're from. How much emphasis do we put on that? Oh, well, you know, They're from over the... God doesn't care where you're from. Remember what they said about Jesus in John chapter 1? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth apparently didn't have a very good reputation, right? Well, you know, Jesus is from Nazareth. You know, we can't trust him. There's nothing good. Does it matter where you're from in the eyes of God? It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in. How much emphasis do we put? Oh, they live over there. Okay. It doesn't matter to God what neighborhood you live in. You might live in a good neighborhood, whatever that is. You might live in a not so good neighborhood, whatever that is. It doesn't matter to God. John chapter 4, where'd Jesus go? Through a neighborhood that no Jew would ever walk through. Why? Because there were souls there, including that Samaritan woman and all of the host of those Samaritans who were there. It did not matter what neighborhood man looked at them as living in. That's not what matters in the eyes of God. It does not matter how much prestige you have. It does not matter how much power you have on this earth. It doesn't matter who you think you are or who other people think you are. Remember what Pilate said to Jesus in John chapter 19? You're saying that to me? If you knew the power that I had, and it's almost as if Jesus could almost chuckle at that. The power that you have? You could have no power unless it was given to you by my Father in heaven. Doesn't matter who somebody is. Doesn't matter who somebody thinks they are. In the eyes of God, that is not their true identity. Your social status, inconsequential to who you are. Second thing, you may not like this one. Second thing, inconsequential to who you are, is your skin color. Your skin color, inconsequential, does not matter to who you really are, especially who you are in the eyes of God. When Adam and Eve were made in the image of God in Genesis chapter 1, what color was their skin? We could have a discussion about that, couldn't we? Guess what? It doesn't matter. But they had within their genetic makeup, guess what? Within their genetic makeup, all of the other skin colors that would ever come into existence. Back 2022, we had a lesson not only on what you should have learned in school regarding gender, but before the kids went back to school in August of 2022, we had a lesson on what you should be learning in school about racism. Go back and look and listen to both of those lessons. But you go back to the first century, and guess who they had in the church in the first century? They had Jews. They had Samaritans. They had Ethiopians. They had Gentiles. Guess what about all of these people? Their skin color didn't match. Their skin color wasn't the same. But it did not matter. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. You're still in Genesis chapter 1. Go over to Galatians chapter 3. Look at what God says about His church. Look at what God says about the makeup of His church in Galatians chapter 3. Here's this church in the first century. They didn't have, well, you're over in the Jewish Church of Christ because you've got this skin color. Oh, well, you stay over in the Ethiopian Church of Christ. Well, you go to the Gentile Church of Christ because we all got different skin colors and we all can't be in the same church. No. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 26. You with me? Galatians 3 and verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are, what little word do you have? For you are all, not some, you are all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. They had all become sons of God. Did it matter where they were from? Did it matter what neighborhood they lived in? Did it matter how much money they had? Did it matter what kind of prestige they had? Did it matter their skin color? No. Verse 27, how did they get rid of their sins? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. And then look at what he says in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. This is inside the church. It's inconsequential where you're from. End of verse 28. For you are, you got the word again, don't you? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. When you think about the Lord's church, the Lord's church is made up of all different kinds of people. And when God looks inside of His church, He doesn't care what color somebody's skin is. So why should we? When God looks outside in the world and He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is He saying, pay attention to their skin color? He's saying, don't care what their skin color is. Because everybody of every skin color needs the gospel of Christ. So there's some people, they have more of the melanin pigment than other people do. So what? Some people have less of the melanin pigment in their... So what? They have more... Some people have more hair than other people. You ever notice that? So what? I mean, obviously I should say that, right? I mean, so what? If somebody has less hair, what difference does that make? Some people have more pounds than other people. I'm looking at the walls when I'm saying that, by the way. But so what? Some people have more inches. Some people have less inches. So what? It doesn't matter if somebody had a nickname for you. It doesn't matter if somebody does have a nickname for you. So what? In God's eyes, we need to get away from looking at the physical, looking at the outward, and especially looking at the skin color. Prejudice is something that should not ever be a part of the Christian life. Prejudice is something that, understand this, is not something that just goes in one direction. Prejudice is something that goes in two directions, if not more. The Greek word that's used for prejudice, for partiality, for favoritism in the New Testament, one of the definitions for this word is that it means prejudicial partiality for the greater over the lesser. And when I read that definition, I have to ask the question, who decides the greater? Who decides the lesser? Who gets to decide? Nobody does. We don't get to put, well, this person's of this caliber, this person's of this skin color, so they're greater. Well, this person's of this, they're of lesser. And God says, no. You don't get to decide, you don't get to determine somebody's greater or lesser, and especially you don't get to determine that based upon some kind of an outward appearance. When God looks at this issue, He says it doesn't matter if you're looking down on somebody because of their skin color, or you're looking up upon yourself because of your skin color, or because of any other attribute that you have. God says if you show partiality, James 2 and verse 9, you commit sin. He lays it out. This should never be a part of our lives. Our skin color in God's eyes and in our eyes is absolutely inconsequential. Look in Acts chapter 10. I was going to quote this verse, but I just want you to look at it with me. Look in Acts chapter 10 before we go into the last point this morning. In God's eyes, skin color is of zero consequence. You know who needed to learn that lesson? Was the Apostle Peter. Here are some individuals of a different ethnical makeup. Here are some individuals who had a different background. They're not from around here. Yep, there's these Gentiles. They're not from around here. They're not really a part of who we are. And Peter had to learn a lesson in Acts chapter 10. The Lord taught him a lesson in Acts chapter 10, but you read Galatians chapter 2, and it still took time for Peter to learn this lesson. But here's what Peter says he learned. Are you with me in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35? Peter says, I've learned something. He opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that the God of heaven is of no respecter of persons, your Bible might say. He does not show partiality. God of heaven does not care if you are a Jew or a Gentile. The God of heaven does not care what your ethnical background, your skin color, it doesn't matter. Look in verse 35. Look at what he says. Verse 34 is, the God of heaven does not show partiality. First word of verse 35, but. He doesn't show partiality. Verse 35, but in every nation. Which nation? Which ethnicity? Which background? In every nation. What's the next word? Whoever. Inside of every nation, every person there, whoever fears God and keeps His commandments is what? Accepted by Him. Isn't that all that matters? Is being accepted by our God? And how do I get accepted by Him? Not by how I look on the outside. How does somebody else get accepted by God? Not by how they look on the outside. Whoever fears God. Fears God, keeps His commandments, the whole duty of man, is what Solomon would say in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Whoever fears God and works righteousness, Peter says, that's the person that's accepted. Is that you? Is that me? There are some things about us that are changeable, but that's not our true identity. Some things about us that are unchangeable. There are some things about us that might make us uncomfortable to hear, but they're inconsequential. They have nothing to do with our true identity. The final thing I want you to think about today is there's some things about us. Here's where it matters. There's some things about us that are eternal. And what's eternal about us is not this. What's eternal about us is not our flesh and blood body. There's nothing about our fleshly self that is of any consequence in the eyes of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Paul says, look, we don't lose heart. There's a whole lot of things going on to us, especially on the physical level. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, he says, even though the outward man is perishing, the outward man, notice the difference. He says, the inward man, notice the difference. There's an outward man, there's an inward man. Note that difference. The outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so what does he say in verse 18? Where do we look? Where do we need to look? Verse 18. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? What's the difference, Paul, between the things that are seen and the things that are not seen? He tells you in verse 18, for the things which are seen are temporary. When you looked in the mirror this morning, guess what you were looking at? Something temporary. When you walk out to your car today and get inside that nice, hot, humid car, guess what you're looking at? Something temporary. You're living in a temporary body. The things that we see are temporary, but what does he say at the end of the verse? But the things which are not seen, those are eternal. Flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh and blood body is not going to go anywhere from this earth. But when we die, James 2 and verse 26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. When our spirit, when our soul leaves this body, it is going to exist somewhere forever. Your body is not eternal, but your soul is going to exist somewhere forever. That's what matters. We put so much emphasis on the body. We put so much emphasis on the external. We put so much emphasis on what God says is temporary. And he said, are you kidding me? You're emphasizing the temporary that much? We need to be putting the emphasis on what is eternal. The spirit, the soul that's going to exist forever. And so what is it about our identity that matters? What is it about your identity that matters? The only thing that matters about your identity is, have you been with Jesus? In Acts 4 and verse 13, when Peter and John were standing before the Sanhedrin, they realized, hang on a second, these guys have been with Jesus. That's all that mattered about their identity. They were ignorant and unlearned men, the first part of that verse says, but that part didn't matter. What mattered was these men had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? That's all that matters. The only thing that matters about your identity, have you been bought by Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, we're not our own. You're not your own. You look in the mirror, you don't belong to yourself. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, verse 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are not yours, which are God's. Have you been bought by the blood of Jesus? When it comes to your identity, that's all that matters. If you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, you can with Paul. As Paul said in Acts chapter 27, in the midst of that storm, when they're all concerned about their fleshly lives, in the midst of that storm, Paul says, I belong to Jesus. That's all that matters. Everything about you that's changeable or unchangeable or inconsequential, the only thing that matters is, do you belong to Jesus? Have you been bought by Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? Are you a bondservant of Jesus? Galatians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, if I tried to please men, I could not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Who are we trying to please? If we're trying to please everybody else, I'll never be a bondservant of Jesus. You know what Paul says matters? Not pleasing other people. Paul says what matters is, am I a bondservant of Jesus? You know what matters about your identity? Are you bound for Jesus? Philippians 1 and verse 23, Paul says, I could live here on the earth longer in this fleshly body, or I could go and leave this body. And he says in verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. The New American Standard says, which is very far better. We put so much emphasis on this fleshly body. And Paul says, I'm bound for Jesus, which is very far better than anything that this earth has to offer. This world is trying to define who you are. This world, our society, is trying to define your identity, trying to put you in this category or that category so that you can match whatever they want to match you. No, 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 no. What is your true identity? And as you think about your true identity, what matters is, do you identify with Christ? Not what do you self-identify as. Well, I self-identify as this. I self-identify as a bowl of spaghetti or whatever somebody wants to self-identify as. It doesn't matter what I self-identify. Who got the idea of self-identify? I want to identify with Jesus Christ. Final verse, Hebrews chapter 2. You might have been thinking that the scripture reader got it wrong this morning. Paul did not get it wrong. Final verse I want you to look at is Hebrews chapter 2. Will you look at this with me for 1 minute, and then the lesson's yours? It does not matter how this world identifies you. What matters is, do you identify with Jesus? But that, whether you identify with Jesus, is not nearly as important. Does Jesus identify with you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 says there's a whole lot of people who say they identify with Jesus. Does Jesus identify with you? Verse 9 begins, but we see Jesus. That's all that matters. That's the person we're trying to be identified with, is Jesus, who came to this earth in verse 9 and tasted death for everyone. He's the captain of salvation, that he might bring many sons to glory in verse 10. He wants to save you. He wants you to identify with him. But what's better than you identifying with him is in verse 11. When the Bible says, for both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all one, all of one. For which reason Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren. My question for you this morning is, does Christ identify with you? There are some folks who might say they identify with Christ, but that does not mean that Christ identifies with you. Read Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Does Christ identify with you? Does Christ look at you and unashamedly call you brethren? Call you his brother, call you his sister, call you one of his own. There's a whole lot of things our children should have learned in school this last year that they didn't learn about identity. They might have learned the complete opposite of what we talked about this morning. But what matters is, what does this book say about our identity? Are you in Christ? Does Christ identify with you? The only way that can happen is if you believe that he is the Son of God, as we saw in Galatians 3 and verse 26 a moment ago. The only way that can happen is if you look at the sin that put Jesus on the cross, your sins that put Jesus on the cross, say, wait a minute, I don't want those sins anymore. I want to stop doing what's wrong, repent of those sins. I want to start doing what's right, make up your mind to change the direction of your life. If you're ready to do that today, you can do what Tiffany did on Thursday. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized, immersed into Christ, as we saw in Galatians 3 and verse 27, so that you can be raised to walk in newness of Christ, so that you can be saved by the blood of Christ, so that you can be identified with Christ as a part of the church of Christ, having your name registered in heaven to spend an eternity with Christ. Have you done what is necessary for Christ to identify with you? And are you walking faithfully in the light with him as he is in the light? Where are you today? Is your identity in Christ? And does he identify with you? If you're not right with him today, resolve right now to give your life to him today as together we stand and sing.